You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Woo-ha! It's another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm your host, Joe Thrashenkill, bringing you the hottest hits of, I guess whatever grungy people we got calling today. Here with my buddy, 365 Days of War, 365.
Woo-ha! Got you all in check.
Very nice. We also have our good buddy, Breticide! How's it going, man?
Against this Breticide, Roman Reigns doesn't stand a chance.
So are you excited for SummerSlam?
I'm pretty fucking hyped for SummerSlam.
who is Roman Reigns wrestling?
Oh my god, like you don't know. Even if you don't watch wrestling, it's been the same thing for the last half dozen years. It's still Brock Lesnar again, doing 40 F5s in a row. Roman Reigns getting up covered in blood, falling down again, half the crowd leaving. It's going to be so great.
And yeah, you're excited about this this rehash of a rehash of a rehash.
Yeah, and the 47 matches before it, I just can't wait.
And you know, they sell out all the time, so I don't know what people expect or want. Like, yeah, you've seen it before, but you still come, so why should they change anything?
I think people need to unsubscribe if Brock Lesnar holds on to that title.
Hashtag cancel the network.
Yes, I think we need to band together. But I won't keep us on wrestling because that's not that kind of show, is it?
I mean, it could be. This show is really at the whims of our listeners. In a few minutes, we're going to have the first of many calls of you people. You fucking people. And we're going to hear what you have to say. Back to your point, though. I haven't watched the WWE in a long while, and I feel pretty good about that. When I get an opportunity, which is actually fairly often, I go watch, the local promotions and just watch dudes just beat the shit out of each other for maybe $10 and a sandwich.
Really hurt each other for no money in front of no people.
Yeah. Leaf came down a couple weeks ago when we watched Anarchy Championship Wrestling here at a venue where we've seen most metal bands come through town. It was fantastic, man. Just people killing each other.
I can't imagine the t-shirt to jorts ratio. It quite have been something.
All of us, us included.
They hand out jorts as you come in through the door.
Right. Yeah. Just cutoffs and knee pads. It's perfect.
There was one guy that came out to a Pantera song, and he had rune tattoo on his hand, one of those racist ones.
Nice.
So very on brand.
Wow. Really? Pantera song. Nobody's ever done that before, huh?
Yeah, yeah. What would your walkout song be? You know, you're out there ready to do the thing in the ring where you rub your nuts all over another guy's face.
It's I don't really love the band Liturgy, but I think the song Generation is just a really sick wrestler entrance song. It's that Liturgy, one where it's
what I think about shit that gets me amped up, the last thing I would have picked anybody to select would be Liturgy. That's weird.
I know, I get it, but it's this instrumental song where it just sounds like somebody's WWE entrance music. I don't know why. It's just got that perfect hype ass bass heavy wank to it. It's just if you guys go listen to I think I just said Generation, right, from Liturgy, yeah. And off Aesthetica, go fucking listen to it. It's my entrance music. You'll know when you'll listen to the song and be like, oh, here's the pyro moment. It's just that kind of a song.
Do I need to read their manifesto before I can enjoy it?
Yes. So okay. Make sure to get your cheaters out, boys. What about you, Jordan? What would you come out to?
Well, with a wrestling theme music with you know, the pyro going off and all of your highlights being played above you on the Titantron, you got to have something that really conveys a sense of aggression and toughness and letting people know that, you know, business is about to pick up. So I'm going with Katrina and the Waves Walking on Sunshine.
equally as tough as Randy Orton's music.
Like coming out skipping, high-fiving people, smiling. Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, it's just like imagining. Oh yeah, what is her song?
Don't give a damn about my generation.
That's how the riff goes. That's the riff.
That's a sick riff, bro.
Yeah.
I think that no, that's good. What would your gimmick be?
It depends. I think, you know, are we talking heel, face, tweener?
Well, you are the master of your own destiny here. Nobody's writing your storyline. You gotta come up with what you want.
My gimmick is I'm an apathetic 33-year-old pretending to fight people for money.
It's not. Yeah. We're not talking about your actual gimmick.
Yeah.
So I've thought long and hard about this. I would be a guy called Kenny Smark. And I would come out and like all of my promos I would cut is like all the stupid, dumb bullshit that people say on wrestling podcasts all the time.
Oh, you'd just be Kenny the Redditor or something.
That's right. Yeah. I would just come out and I'd wear like a Hawaiian shirt with no shirt underneath and jorts. And I would just come out and complain about Roman Reigns until he came out and gave me a spear or something.
That would be extremely funny.
And then you get up and go, you call that a spear, pussy?
Your move set is so limited.
Terrible work rate.
That's good. I like it. I would go out to Unsilent Death by Nails, because that's, you know, it's a peppy tune for at least Nails anyway. It's like don't dicka don't dicka don't 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 dicka don't dicka don't do do. And that's tough. And, you know, if you've got tough music, you're a tough person. I think that's how it works.
Well, when you're walking down the aisle to Nails, do you literally drag your knuckles down on the floor as you walk out?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just throwing around homophobic slurs at everybody in the crowd.
Going to a Nails show, unga bunga.
Yeah, my shtick will be that I'm like a hardcore wrestler, but then I'll get hit in the chest with a barbed wire covered bat and then just immediately like start crying like, what the fuck, dude? I can't believe you just hit me with that shit.
Your finishing move will be called the crowd killer.
Yeah, that's just where I pick somebody in the crowd and I punch him in the nose while I'm running.
The match is over, everyone's leaving.
The smallest girl in the front row you can find, you punch her teeth out.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think that I'd be pretty good at wrestling. McMahon's, whoever is in charge,
all of them,
Triple H, Booker T, whatever. Give us a call. We'll be good.
We can at least get on 205.
Yeah. We got some calls coming up here. Is everybody prepared for whatever's coming?
Absolutely not.
You are joining the Toilet with Hill Radio Show. I am Joe. What is your name?
I am Shannon. How's it going?
Shannon, I'm doing pretty well. How's your morning going?
All right. I just woke up. It is 64 degrees, and I am shivering right now.
Where are you that it's 64?
I am outside of Fruta, Colorado, at Colorado National Monument.
Huh. That sounds delightful.
Yeah, I am up here for a couple of months. I am volunteering as the campground host, so I will be tenting for 2 months straight.
Wait, so you're, like, living in a tent for 2 months?
Yeah. It's more fun than it might sound. Yeah, basically, I say I will manage your campground, quote-unquote, make sure that everybody's check-in process goes smoothly, everybody has a nice time, and in return, I get a free campsite.
That sounds awesome, actually. When does it get really cold where you are?
I have no idea. This is my first time in Colorado, and I'm a dumbass, so I did not bring a jacket to this state. I am technically in a high desert, so it stays pretty warm during the days, but there's no moisture in the air to trap that at night, so it gets down into the 50s at night currently.
Huh. You know, it sounds like that could be unpleasant, but at the moment, like, it's 100 degrees outside right now where I am in Texas, so I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I actually just came up from Austin, so I'm used to the heat currently.
Oh,
and I'm
word.
Just trying to get back to being able to stand the cold.
Yeah, no, I think you escaped at the right time. What made you decide that you wanted to do this?
Well, I was actually in Austin to volunteer with AmeriCorps, and I had a great time volunteering. I was on a construction crew, so I was learning how to work with my hands a lot. And kind of unbeknownst to me and the rest of my crew, we were camping the entire time. So I was in Austin on the weekends, but I was pretty much living at Lake Whitney up north of Waco. And then I wanted a break from that program, so I was looking for more opportunities, and this is something that's more in line with what I want to do with my life, because national parks, public lands are very dear to me. Sort of opportunity to help them, especially with budget cuts, and help preserve the experience is definitely something that is worth volunteering 2 months of my time for.
Definitely, like that is so cool. My lady and I, we try to get away to as many national parks as we can. Did you, while you were in Texas, did you get a chance to go to Big Bend?
No. If I return to my program at the end of my little stint out here, we do go on one large trip to Big Bend. So I might do that, or I might just say I can go myself and not have to return.
That's it's an incredible place. So you said you were at Lake Whitney during the week?
Yeah.
I've only been there once, and I didn't have a very good time. I met up with some friends. We were going to go camping out there. And then when I think within about an hour and a half of getting out there, my friend got arrested. So I don't have great memories of Lake Whitney.
Neither do I. I have basically 6 months of mostly bad memories of Lake Whitney. It is very windy. One of our tents actually snapped, and we had to get a new tent. The raccoons are monsters sent from hell. And 9 times out of 10, they outsmarted every single one of the people on my crew, so it was kind of embarrassing. And working outside in, 100-plus degree weather, doing intense work, was not always the best.
So, are you just used to living in a tent now, or do you miss the conveniences of indoors?
It is sometimes nice to be inside. You get a nice hot shower and you can just lay on the couch. But really, I've always loved being in tents and being outdoors. So it's not something that I miss a whole lot. More I miss, when I'm inside, it's usually, I'm with my family, or if I'm with my friends because it's the weekend, so we're just being lazy people. So I do kind of miss that, but I love the solitude of being in a tent, and, it's not a small tent. Since I'm here for 2 months, I got a tiny upgrade from my one-person tent. So it's not too much of a sacrifice.
I gotta tell you, I'm impressed. I don't think I have it in me to rough it like that. I've never slept well in a tent. I'm always constantly getting eaten by mosquitoes. It takes some iron will.
Yeah, I would consider this glamping what I'm doing right now. It's pretty cush, but some of the places that I've been are definitely roughing it.
The last time I went camping, I went with some friends, and we Kent on the...
This is the east entrance.
Sorry, that was my radio you were saying.
I forgot something about... Oh, yeah, camping. I was camping in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago, and it was... I couldn't ever sleep because I was with a guy that was just this horrible drunk, and also I was in fear that a coconut would just land on my head the entire time. So what's... Yeah. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to share with the Toil of Hell audience? Since we've got, I hate to keep asking you all these questions about your job. Is there something in particular that you wanted to share with us?
No, that's fine. Well, first, I just wanted to let you know that I love the podcast. It's so much fun. But that's kind of why I did take the opportunity to call in. You know, obviously, I'm a metalhead. I love metal. And I love your podcast, but being a volunteer here, I just kind of wanted to, you know, take the chance that maybe you would find that interesting and just kind of share a little bit with everybody that listens and let people know that they can definitely become kind of more invested in their outdoor community and be more active in helping to preserve natural spaces. Because especially, you know, under Trump, he did a review of several national parks and downsized some of them incredibly to open it up to mining and timbering and drilling. So if you don't mind, I did just want to send that out as a message a
absolutely.
Little bit.
I feel like the giveaway of our national parks is like low-key one of the most egregious things that this administration is doing. These are our shared birthright, these natural spaces that we've decided like 100 years ago that this was worth protecting. So giving that away for, I don't know, drilling or strip mining or whatever the hell, it's just heartbreaking.
It really is. Two of the pot beds of discussion that he downsized last year, I believe it was Bear Ears Monument in Utah and Grand Staircase, which I believe is also in Utah. And one of the things for me that really, he downsized Bear Ears by 85%, over 1 million acres, to open it up to mining and drilling and flexible management, they call it, which basically means that they're just going to fuck up the land. And he did it by saying that previous presidents, a.k.a. Obama, because he was the person that created Bear Ears Monument in 2016, overstepped their boundaries by creating too much public land. And you can never have too much public land. It was just kind of one of his slaps in the face that he could give to Obama, who he did not like, still does not. And we really have to stay on the ball, especially under this administration, as a community of people that cherish the outdoors, because it's constantly under attack by people that want to repurpose the land and claim it for their own to just exploit the resources. And then cutting the funding for parks, part of the reason why they accept so many volunteer positions is because, you know, they don't have the funds to staff people to do this and pay people to do this. And even out here as a campground host, as soon as I got here, I was very upfront, you know, I want to work for the park system one day. They said, that's great, we could use your help in so many other places, let us know and we'll get you on them too, above and beyond just the one thing that you're here to volunteer. We need your help in other places.
So what can listeners of this show, let's say that they have a full-time job and can't commit to, you know, full-on volunteering, what can we do to help your cause?
You can stay active in the community, and it does not have to be, you know, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, so I'm a pretty far away to volunteer here. And you don't have to do anything like that. You can stay in your local community. You can make sure that your state parks get funded, that your representatives know that that is something that you value. If there's a proposal to cut funding for something small, you can act on that and you can share your voice. And you don't have to volunteer, you know, 24/7 year round like what I've been doing at various places. You can go out on the weekends and you can listen to rangers share about the geological wonders that might be in your area. They educate people all the time about what is around and how they're trying to protect it and how, you know, their protection is being thwarted. Or you can go out and a lot of places will have one day off commitments where one Saturday a month you go out and you help maintain trails to keep the lands accessible to people to still enjoy and to still maintain a public interest in that land. So there are all sorts of ways that you can keep up on that, keep up on the news. Parks will always share information on Facebook, Twitter, conservancies. I follow the Appalachian Trail. They post all the time about pipeline activity and different protections that are being discontinued or that were able to stay on, and people voted and made their voice here to make sure that it got continued.
Gotcha. That's awesome. I'd say folks listening, it's probably a good idea to seek out the parks in your area and perhaps follow them online so that you can be notified if something is going on, and also to, you know, volunteer and to go look at things. It's cool to look at nature and walk trails and feel a part of nature for half a moment before you, you know, go back to, you know, the 9-to-5 thing and dealing with traffic in cities.
Yes, it's definitely 100% worth it. And, you know, even in a single state like Colorado, there are so many different terrains. There are so many different views. It was my first time coming out to the state recently, and it just kind of shocked me how different one place could be versus 10 miles down the road. You may think that where you live is pretty boring and run-of-the-mill, but you can be truly surprised by what you see if you actually go out and look for it.
I think that's great advice. Everybody should do that. Shannon, thank you so much for calling today. I think I've got another call coming in just 1 minute. Is there anything else that you want to share with us?
No, that was it. Well, protect the forest so that you can have more sick black metal band photos. That's it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Awesome. This has been a great call. Thank you so much for talking with us, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Bye.
You are now tuned in to the Toil of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Wilbur Athus, a.k.a. Jeff. How's it going, guys?
How do you... Okay, so can you say that again? How do you pronounce it?
It's Wilbur Athus.
Wilbur Athus. Okay, I had no idea. It was just like, yeah, Roldy.
old Roll has been called before. But yeah, It's a character's name that I took from this video game, Grim Dawn. It's like a Diablo clone. Came out a couple of years ago. Pretty good. Thought the name was ridiculous. So, just picked it up.
Does the game tie into the owl theme that you got going on, too?
No, that's just, I've always had a thing for owls. I can't pick out a certain time that it became my shtick. But, yeah, I don't know. I just love them. They're fucking little weirdos.
Yeah, they are that. Do you have a specific owl in particular that's your favorite?
Yeah, I like the barn owl because they just look like these weird... They look like aliens, like even more so than your average owl. I also like there's like these burrowing owls that like live underground in these tunnels, which is pretty cool. I think they like live in Africa.
Weird. What are those called?
Yeah, there's it might just be a burrowing owl. I'm not sure, but yeah, they're really cool, and they always have like these ridiculous like family photos that people take. Like these wildlife photographers will just they just pose in these like these little groups, and they all like one of them will have its head like completely upside down. One's like tackling its brother. I don't know. I'll try to find some of those.
I Google image searched it just now, and it is very good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one right now. He's got half of a giant lizard sticking out of his beak is extremely brutal.
Yeah, owls, they don't fuck around.
No, I don't. When you were a kid in school, did they have you dissect the owl pellet?
Yes, I do. Maybe that was like a latent thing that surfaced and like stuck with me forever. Maybe I didn't like that and it scarred me, and then like part of my transformation into acceptance was taking on the role of an owl.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. What's on your mind this morning?
All right. Well, I got a few things. I have recently started playing this ridiculously difficult video game, Bloodborne, from a few years ago on PlayStation 4. And I'm just wondering, have you ever played any of those Dark Souls, punishing combat games?
Yeah, the Master Lord, RIP, he sent me the Dark Souls, the first one, just to, I guess, piss me off. And I put way, for as little patience as I have, I put a lot of time into this game until eventually I came to a section with a bunch of fucking wolves that I just couldn't beat, so I think I actually threw it away. It pissed me off so much.
You buried it with the ET games?
Yeah. I got a Switch, and I saw that they're remastering the game for the Switch, and for a half moment I was like, oh, maybe I'll go back into that, but no, I will absolutely never do that.
Yeah, it's, I don't remember the last time I was, immersed in a game enough to, stay up consistently to, 2 a.m. on work night or work mornings, and let me tell you, it's not great. I've been a little bit of a zombie since I started playing.
With Bloodborne, is that similar difficulty as the other ones?
Yeah, it's by the same company, and it's it's more fast paced, and I feel the there's opportunities for more healing, so it's a little less punishing, but still extremely difficult. It's very frustrating, but it's definitely rewarding when you actually kill something, which isn't very common.
So when you're staying up till 2 a.m., is it just a repeated thing of you died, restart, you died, restart, you died, or are you making real progress here?
I mean, usually dying. Most of the time it's just corpse hopping. I'll drop 25,000 experience points with my body, and then have to run back and get it. And if I just go to bed, it'll be that experience is just lost. So. It's an awful cycle, and then it's just hey, I have to wake up in 5 hours.
Yeah, no, I understand the compulsion. I quit playing video games for a few years because I was what the reward cycle that your brain goes through in playing a game, it can really gum up the works. Actually, doing Toilet of Hell has mostly kept me free and clear of that demon video game stuff.
Yeah, I almost flunked out of high school by playing too much World of Warcraft, so I know what that's like, too.
You're not the first person to tell me that, either. I had a roommate in college that flunked out, not with World of Warcraft, but with RBI Baseball for the NES. So it doesn't even matter what the game is. People can find a way to just do that.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess I got another question, depending on how much time we got left. Have you heard of this? I call them mostly death metal, maybe black and death metal. It's this band Ellersith. They have 3 EPs out now. They were all just released as package deal on I'm not sure which, it's on some Bandcamp label, but it's Ellersith, and they're, have you heard of them?
I haven't heard of them. Do you know how to spell that?
Yeah, it's Ellersith, and their shtick is that they do EPs about unsolved mysteries in history, and Ooh. It's really cool. They choose some really neat cases. They have their first EP, called 1959. It's about a bunch of, it's like a real, true life story about this group of Russian cross-country skiers who all perished out in the wilderness with, like, crushing wounds to their bodies, crushing blows, but, like, too strong to have been from a human, but they don't think it could have been an animal. No one knows what happened.
Is that the Dyatlov Pass incident? Is that what it would be referred to, or am I thinking of something? Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that, and they've got, like, they were, like, pretty murky in those days, but they had a CD come out just this year, or an EP that was about some, like, weird kind of, some person was found on a beach with, like, these weird claw marks on her, and, like, she had just succumbed to some weird, like, cult that she'd been taking part in, and, like, no one ever found out what happened. There's another one where a dude, like, washed up on some shore with, like, no legs, and he couldn't talk, but, like, the town just, like, took care of him. It's really weird stuff.
Whoa. I want to know what happened to that guy.
Yeah, all he could say was his name, which was, like, Jerome. And that's what the EP is called.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's weird shit, and the music's good too, so it's a good marriage of bizarre stories and good death metal.
That's such a cool idea for a theme for a band. Like, I know that, like, there's a huge surge in popularity of, like, podcasts that cover unsolved mysteries and, like, true crime and stuff like that. So I think it's rad that there's, like, a band that's exploring those topics too.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I would definitely check it out. I can send you the link to, like, they have, like, the all three EPs in, like, in order in one package on Bandcamp somewhere.
Tight.
And I think it's pretty cheap too.
I think we need music for this episode. So if you have a track in particular that you'd recommend, we can play it on here.
Nice. So one other thing, I want to thank Sacred Sun for he's basically, like, I feel like I get paid to do artwork of involving his face, so I feel like I'm kind of like commissioned, like I'm being, like, I'm making art of him and getting paid for it, so it feels like we have a business connection, and yeah, it's really something special.
Does he know? Does he have any idea that that you have made roughly 7,000 photoshops with his face?
I don't. I mean, you know, part of me, the egotistical part, says, "Oh, he must have seen some of this." Like, he, there's just too many images around. It's like I've saturated Google Images. Like, there's he's got to, like, go on there and just see Toilet of Hell, and, like, in the links. He's gotta know, but he hasn't reached out. I don't know if he would be able to reach out to me specifically, but, like, I don't know. If you guys hear from him, if you get, like, a cease and desist, just let me know, and I'll change my ways.
It's difficult. Do you have, I don't suppose you have a folder where these are all saved, do you?
No. And I would have to comb Discus for, like, 17 hours to find all these images, and, like, some of them are saved on different, I mean, some of them I have on different computers. I do have, like, a SunPost folder on my work laptop, so, like, there's some stuff in there. Like, I just have, like, like his face as, you know, like a template, and just his glasses. So,
well, that's just efficient. That's a smart planning move.
Yeah, yep. So that works out pretty well, but I do have to, like, glance around and be like, does anyone see me just, like, photoshopping this beautiful young man's face onto, like, Cthulhu's body? Like, is anyone watching me do this?
I mean, even if they were, do you think that your coworker or whatever say to you, like, hey, I've watched you photoshop this guy's face on all kinds of different things, and what's the deal?
Yeah, no one would do that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
There is a good chance that, like, your coworker is going home and, like, telling their significant other, like, he did it again today, three times.
That's a great thought. Like, that tickles me. I would love for someone to be spreading the gospel of Sacred Sun. But, I mean, they don't know who he is. But, in essence, they're spreading it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've listened to the Sacred Sun album in months, but I see his face almost every day.
Yep. I'm part of a Facebook group that just posts that album cover every day.
See, it seems
Sacred Sun.
It seems like that's a missed opportunity for sun posting, where you would do your post your photoshops instead, so that you can, you know, get some variety there.
Yeah, I mean, the group's not looking for variety though. Like, okay. I should start my own. I mean, they're literally, it's just that album cover, no edits every day. So like, I don't know. But I could branch out and create my own sun posting group, but I don't know if it'll gain a lot of traction. But you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
So yeah, I don't know. You've inspired me. Maybe I'll do that.
I think that if nothing else, having another repository to place your photoshops is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have all your, you know, you got to get your portfolio set up somewhere.
Yeah,
all those pics together.
Because I mean, it would be a shame, like, you know, years from now, and you want to show somebody, like, I have a very specific Sacred Sun Photoshop for this specific occasion. You'd want to be able to grab it easily. It's, you know, it's, you got to have your portfolio.
Yep. I got to start on that. I will do that. So, are we out of time, or you got
No, we got just a couple of minutes. I wanted to. Yeah. So, anything else that you want to share with us? You got the floor, man.
I am just really looking forward to this new, I don't know how to pronounce it, Barus, this French band. I know that the Lizard's really excited about it too. They have a new CD called Drowned coming out in October, I believe, end of October, and they do like a cool half cavernous, half like progressive, half or thirds add Meshuggah in there, like Meshuggah-esque heavy groove, and yeah, they're really good and really promising. They only have this one EP out, but the full album's coming out in October. Really excited about it. And I do want to give a shout out to McNulty / Old Dusty for he was like really really welcoming, like when I first started posting on the toilet, and he kind of took me under his wing, so to speak, and I thank him for that. And he showed me a dope ass black metal CD the other day. So cheers to McNulty, and to all of you guys.
Cheers to McNulty.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
And
sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say also Grumtumpus for teaching me that there is no caps lock key, there's just an unlock key, which is never used because it's pointless and bullshit.
I agree. So it's a real shame. It's a shame that he didn't call in today. I want you guys to work on him so that he'll call in the next time.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little petition. I'm gonna do a what's it? What is that website where you can think progress, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It's
anyways, yeah, we'll wear him down.
Yeah, we'll get him. Well, thanks so much for calling in today. Thanks so much for your tireless work in Sacred Sun Photoshopping, we will talk with you the next time we do it.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend.
You too, man.
Peace.
Hello, and thank you for calling Toilet Radio. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. Who am I speaking with today?
You're speaking to Henry, broadcasting from sunny-ish Lehigh.
Lehigh, where is that?
Lehigh is in the armpit of Utah, which itself is the butthole of America, so it's kind of gross here.
Well, I'd say you're kind of the taint. I would reckon that the butthole is closer to Nevada. Because, yeah. I mean, at least you've got, like, you know, you got, like, mountains and stuff, too, right?
A few. It's a pretty big fault line, so, like, any second it could start shaking really bad, and then we'd all die, and I guess that'd be cool, but kind of not really.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about, like, the West Coast, is I feel like there's fault lines and volcanoes and super volcanoes and stuff, like, also, like, you know, the desert and drought and stuff like that. It seems like a hazardous place.
Yeah, everything is currently on fire, and I just finished reading Harry Turtledove's Super Volcano, and now I can't go to sleep at night, because I'm like, oh shit, what if Yellowstone explodes? Well, we're fucked. Bye-bye, humanity.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of things that could happen that we would all, you know, die immediately. The super volcano, like, the deal with that, right, is like it puts so much ash in the air that basically we all choke to death. Is that the deal?
Yeah, it puts, it's either we choke on it or it just blocks out the sun and all the plants die and then there's nothing for us to eat and then we die.
Yeah. Just in general, I'd put humanity on a timeline of about 150 years left, so I feel like we should make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, we've already elected a sentient tangerine to the highest office in the world, but, you know, there's one goal down.
Generally things not looking up, but, you know, it's Saturday morning, I'm going to have a good time regardless. How are you doing today?
I am doing very good. I was planning on sleeping in, but I was like, oh shit, I got to call into the toilet of hell. I set my alarm and everything.
Man, sleeping, I've been up for 3 hours already. Come on. Oh. I guess you don't have dogs that wake you up.
No, just a phone. And I was trying to find a way to set my alarm clock as like a Nocturna song just to keep it all metal. And then it was like, fuck, I can't do that. So just a little beep, 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 beep.
What's on your mind today?
I was going to tell a funny story about how I, you know, my exodus to Denver and the edibles I ate there while listening to Full of Hell, but that's just we drove up to Denver, I ate some edibles, listened to Full of Hell, then we saw Septic Flesh and Dark Funeral Concert, and then we went home. But, you know, that's a story.
There are no misadventures along the way?
Yeah, a little bit. We killed that Owen Wilson saying wow meme we buried that shit. 8 hour drive, nothing to do but listen to God the Throne. We were like wow at everything that passed us by.
so when did you consume the edibles? At what point of this journey?
We got there on the first night and we went to a little diner. It was me and my buddy Michael. Hi, Michael. I might send him the link to this once it gets put up. But we went there. First night was fun. We had some dinner at a really nice little diner thing. I got a free burger. I can't remember the circumstances behind that. But we get home. Michael leaves. He goes to get some coffee. My mom calls me on the phone because I left the state and she's paranoid, I guess. She's like, yeah, where's Michael? Is he going to get some food? And I'm like, yeah, he's going to get some cookies and bring them back. She's like, you better eat those cookies. Like, they're Starbucks. They're not those cookies. Calm down. So, and my mother was like, yeah, eat some fucking edibles. You're in Denver, dude. But the second day dawns. We get some breakfast. It's really cool. We go to Wax Tracks, which I'm not a corporate shill, I promise, but if you are planning on going to Denver or you live in the Denver area, go to Wax Tracks. Best place on earth.
So Wax Tracks is not like, to the best of my knowledge, not like a multinational corporation. It's probably okay. Tell us a little bit about this Wax Tracks. What's the deal with it?
It is a record store. Well, it's kind of two separate stores, and there's a little used bookstore right between them, but one side is nothing but vinyls and 45s and 7 inches, and that was actually the first place I ever saw a Nunslaughter vinyl, which it was very nice. But really just a lot of bins of like smooth jazz, R&B, rock, so nothing that interested me there. But then we get to the metal section and it's not like FYE bargain bin shit. It's like, oh, you got 47 Five Finger Death Punch albums? No, it's good. It's really underground shit. I wouldn't expect this from some little mom and pop store in Denver because apparently it's been there forever. This is just the vinyl side. They have like Left Cross, Nunslaughter, like I mentioned, a lot of hardcore punk. Neither me nor Michael own a record player, sadly, though I do have a cassette player, but that's kind of stupid. But we walk across to the CD side and we knew it was a good place because on the outside of the building on one wall, there's this giant 8-foot-tall painting of Lemmy, or it was on one of the windows, but we were like, okay, this is God's chosen place, apparently. But we walk in there, shit ton of CDs, and this side they also have a bunch of t-shirts, and the metal section is just beautiful. I managed to find all three Nails albums and I think a Hypocrisy CD there, and I bought all of them because I can't keep money in my pocket. But really nice little store. The staff there, really awesome. They were like, oh shit, you guys are going to see that show? And I think it was a younger dude and an older lady that were there. The older lady had no idea what Septic Flesh and Dark Funeral was, but she was cool about it. She's like, nice, you guys coming from Utah? Yeah, we did come in from Utah. 8-hour drive? Yeah, it sucked. But yeah, Wax Tracks, really cool. Go there if you can.
So, seeing Septic Flesh live, I've never seen them live. Do they wear the rubber suits?
Rubber suits and everything, and the vocalist, Seth, whatever his name is, he has a predilection for asking if you, his friends, are ready. He said, are you ready, my friends, or combinations of that, about 26 times through the show. But I didn't care because I was still, like, writing the edibles down. So I was like, this is so fucking cool, dude. Wow.
So do you get many extreme metal shows coming your way in Lehi, Utah?
Quite a few, actually. One of the first show, well, I think it was pretty much the first show I attended, was Power Trip, Gate Creeper, and Cannibal Corpse in Salt Lake.
Pretty stacked lineup.
Hmm?
It
was pretty fucking cool. Gate Creeper was insane. I was there pretty much for Gate Creeper, but during Gate Creeper, some dude, he's doing his spin kicks in the pit. He falls over and, you know, almost knocks a bunch of people down. And I'm standing pretty close to the pit. He kicks himself back to standing and then, like, spin kicks away into the pit like a top or a dreidel or some shit. And he, don't see him for the rest of the night. He spin kicks himself into existence and then disappears.
That's incredible. That's a pro move. Kicking yourself up off the ground.
That show was insane, but then a few months later, just a little while ago, we ended up seeing Origin and Morbid Angel at the same place, the Complex in Salt Lake. Origin was cool, but because it was a during the week show, not a lot of people showed up, which wasn't great. But then Morbid Angel comes on. It's me, Michael, hi again, Michael, my little brother Casey, who's never attended a show like that before. He's not even that much into extreme types of music. He's still a big Ghost fan. I'm like, but we go to the show. It's me, my friend Michael, my little brother, my girl who is a friend but not a girlfriend. It's complicated, but we go to the show. Morbid Angel fucking kills it. And I, like, throw my knee out standing up to get into the pit, so I have to sit down on the floor like a chump for the rest of the night. But I'm like, I still fucking love it. I love you guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's tough, man. Injuring yourself before you make it into the pit.
Yeah, I just stood up, and I was at a weird angle, I think, and my knee was just like, no, you're dumb. You're going to sit down for the rest of the night.
How old are you?
I am 18, almost 19, going to be a couple weeks, and then 19 years old.
That's tough, man, when you're that young and already your body is betraying you.
Yeah, it doesn't like me. At least this, I've always had problems with this knee. I don't know what it is, but it just hates me.
It's a thing, man. You can replace almost anything on your body except for your knees, which I think, like, we just need robot legs. I think that would solve a lot of problems.
That would be cool as shit. I would totally take robot legs or an arm, but it would be pretty useless because I'm not going to do some Winter Soldier shit and go out and kill a bunch of, you know, people. I'm just going to sit there with a robot arm or robot leg and be like, this is cool.
I figure the NFL would be a lot more fun if everybody just had robot appendages so they could, you know, run without, you know, any worry about snapping their Achilles or whatever the hell it is that keeps people out for a year at a time.
Yeah, that would be... I would actually watch the NFL if they were cyborgs.
I think it's the future. Well, if humanity doesn't die first, the future is robot NFL players. I have another call coming in. Is there anything else that you want to plug before we let you go?
Cassettes. I mentioned those. I have a few, but there was an article up on the toilet a little while ago mentioning Terror Chamber. I got that cassette. It's really fucking good. Really good cassette. I'd recommend it. And then my final thing, Cosmic Void Ritual. They just put out a little compilation cassette on, what is it, Blood Harvest? Blood Harvest, and it's fucking good. So I'd recommend it.
Hell yeah. Take those recommendations to the bank. Well, thanks so much for calling me up today.
Mm-hmm. It's what I do. I spread my putrescent joy over everyone.
We'll have a very putrescent day.
You too.
Hello.
Hello, Joseph. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I am very tired. Good fucking Christ.
Why are you tired?
Well, just work. Got up early because I don't even know anymore. And now I'm here with a cat in my lap.
I was awake until like almost 1 a.m. last night because my lady has been out of town, so I was playing video games and drinking a lot of beers. And then, you know, I don't know why I did it because, of course, my dogs wake me up at 6 every single day. So, you know, I'm dragging a little bit too, man.
Nah, I feel you. So what is new with you? Oh, hello, Mama. Mama, get out of my face, please.
I guess we should go ahead and clarify. If somebody somehow doesn't know, we are on the line with Keegan. Keegan and Mama the cat.
Yes.
So, wait, when did you get Mama?
I got her partway through March. Actually got her through one of my old supervisors, who in turn got her from one of my other old supervisors. And, yeah, now she's found her forever home.
She seems to be fond of you.
Oh yeah, she's a very good cat.
Yeah, our cats aren't affectionate. Occasionally, they'll jump up on me and claw me just to, like, you know, put me in my place. But they don't have any need for affection.
Yes, Mama, I'm talking to someone. Please stop nuzzling the phone.
She knows
exactly what I'm doing.
That's a good cat.
You just don't need, yeah, she, hello, Mama.
So, we've had a couple of interesting calls already today. What's on your agenda?
I'm going to do laundry a little bit later on. And other than that, absolutely fucking nothing at all.
Sweet.
Because fuck productivity over the weekends.
I agree. I don't know what's going on in your part of the world. I'm probably going to, I don't know. My car is busted. I'm gonna either try to figure out the bus route or something to go to the counter protest to the protests against leftist violence that's going on at the Capitol today.
What the shit?
It's a bunch of chuds getting together to quote unquote protest leftist violence, which, as far as I can tell, leftist activists haven't killed anybody. Not since like the Weatherman days of the 60s. So I don't know. I figured that I'd go yell at chuds and wave a sign around and otherwise sweat to death in 103 degree heat. Could be fun.
Oh, good God, 103 degrees? Fuck that.
It's been very, very warm. But as far as I can tell, this exact event is going on around at several places around the country. The protests against leftist violence thing, I think it's 18 cities, so I don't know. There may or may not be something around you. I don't know if there's a counter protest planned, but if you got nothing going out, you could always just go bang on pots and pans and give, you know, hand out water is always a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I haven't heard about anything like that in my area because, like, if there was, I would have heard about it from friends and coworkers. But yeah, we seem to be spared from that particular bit of bullshit.
So are you Wisconsin or Minnesota?
I live in Wisconsin, but I work in Minnesota. Where I live, I'm basically like 10 or so minutes away from the state border.
Huh. Do you ever Do you ever stand on both sides of the state at once? Like, you know, one leg in Wisconsin, one leg in Minnesota?
Actually, I'm not sure. Go across like two sets of bridges to actually go between Wisconsin and Minnesota. So I'm sure somebody's done that. But they've also had to contend with traffic on the bridge going both ways. So if they have, I'm not sure they survived.
Okay. That's not as easy then. I always got a kick out of it. Definitely still get a kick out of it stopping at state lines on the side of the highway and just be like, look, I'm in both states. Now I'm in Texas. Now I'm in Oklahoma. So do you have any shows coming up? Do you have any bands that you want to rep?
Not right now, at least as far as I can remember. I've actually had my own card troubles. Well, not anymore since I just got a new one this week. But even now with my new one, I'm currently leasing it, so I really have to save my miles because of that.
But,
beyond that, I just have not been really looking at many shows. Well, at least until I actually move to Minneapolis or St. Paul when I graduate, but yeah, nothing in the near future.
How far away are you from graduation?
I just need to finish up my minor, and I just need to do one course in that minor, and thank Christ it's only a online class that's offered this fall.
Oh, so you're right there.
Yep. I cannot stand the waiting because I hate my job now and I want to move and I want to get a new one and actually get paid a decent wage, but apparently that's too much to ask for without a bachelor's.
Even with a bachelor's, for a lot of places and a lot of jobs, it's too much to ask for. Something about it being difficult to make a living in this country. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
And neither do I. It's the damned fucking thing.
What is it you want to do when you graduate?
When I graduate, I'm looking at a few jobs like arms work. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, what is that?
Right, arms work is basically kind of what I'm doing now, except step up in a few ways. Like what I do right now, I just work in a series of group homes in more of a direct care role. Like if you've ever heard of people in like nursing homes having to wipe people's butts, kind of what I do. Except not that specifically, unless I'm working at particular houses where that's a need for particular clients there. I just do a lot of like behavioral de-escalation, a lot of like day-to-day monitoring behaviors and making sure they're going towards their goals, towards independence. And some days are easier than others, and I wish the easier days would come again. But for arms work, the difference between then and what I do now is that it's more like direct one-on-one kind of stuff with meetings with clients for like 1 or 2 hours a day. They can just go visit another client, another house for another 1 to 2 hours, and just more personalized but less direct stuff, if that makes any sense. And I really want to just get out of the direct care stuff.
Yeah, well, everything that I've ever heard about that working in that kind of environment is, you know, it's an incredibly difficult, incredibly stressful. It requires a lot of like emotional care, and also it just doesn't pay.
That is true.
So I don't, for a job that seems so necessary and so difficult, I guess. Why isn't there money for this need?
To be honest, I really don't know. Can't hear my mouth. God damn it. It kind of depends on what type of company a particular person might be working for, although it's pretty much universal. Like with the company I'm working for right now, it's pretty much like a nationwide behemoth. Well, not a behemoth, but they operate out of like 30 states in the country, government funded. And so for like more the direct care's wages, they'd have to actually ask the government for more funding, from what I remember. And then for more private companies, like one of the first ones that I worked for, it was mostly a matter of fuck you. Really, like, I interpret it.
How so?
Well, we have money going towards this, you have money going towards that. Fuck you, how dare you? Not quite like that, but they said it a lot more politely.
Gotcha. No, it's weird to me, and a little galling that it seems like, you know, the richest country in the history of the world and all, we can't, you know, pay people a living wage to, you know, care for the most needy among us, and instead we'll just, you know, build a bunch of airplanes that fall out of the sky if it rains.
Well, not to mention giving hush money to keep word quiet about all of our golden showers and everything.
Oh, yeah. Still curious. Do you think the P-tape exists?
Wait, the what exists?
The P-tape.
If not that specific tape, then something very, very similar. Or other tapes that are very similar. Who fucking knows? Yeah.
I want to believe that it's real, but... we're not allowed to have anything good in this world, so it's I feel like it's probably not. I want it to be real. if somehow it is real and it got, you know, leaked to the internet, do you think it would have more views or less views than Disturbed's Sound of Silence cover?
Oh shit, that's a tough one. Yeah, probably just for the sheer shock value, I'd say more.
Mm-hmm.
But any kind of like sustained views after that, I don't think that'd be very much.
Yeah, you don't think somebody's going to be like, "Oh, what a great video! That was gross. I can't wait to watch it again."
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. I have another call. It's coming in. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the loving audience of the Toilet of Hell?
Mama and I love you all.
And we love you too. Thanks so much for calling, Keegan.
Yay! All right, thanks for listening to me ramble.
Talk to you later.
All righty, see ya. We'll be right back.
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.